Reading from Ujjal Nilamani, Chapter 1, Nayak Bade, different types of heroes, romantic heroes. Of course, we're discussing Krishna. The entire book is about Krishna, Radharani, and the gopis. It's text 19. So it's a book of definitions. Basically, it's a textbook of Madhurya Leela, this love between Radha and Krishna and the gopis, this pure spiritual love, this divine amor. And so lots of terms and definitions. So it's like a course. When you go to some course in school, psychology or psychiatry or philosophy, the beginning classes are many definition of terms and then examples. And so this book is a textbook. It's not a book of Leela. It's not really even a book of philosophy. There's small Leelas to illustrate the definitions or the points of. This is a book about bhav. It's a book about feelings. Love means feelings, exchanges, emotions, sentiments, and all varieties. Laughing is a sentiment, crying is a sentiment, and being afraid is a feeling. Oh, many, many types of sentiments and feelings. So this book is explaining all of those feelings and sentiments and varieties of loving expression between Krishna and the gopis. So when it's all said and done, now we're inching along like a caterpillar. We're going very slow. But when the tape, when someone later listens to all these tapes, then they'll just, one by one, they'll listen. You know, class one, class two. Then they'll hear the composite. Because you heard something yesterday, and by today you forgot it. And then tomorrow you'll forget today. But then when they're on tape, so it's, we're getting something, but then later, long-term benefit. Atreva says that Atreva, this is text 19, we made it to text 19, verse 19 of chapter 1. Atreva paramotkarsha shringarasya pratishtata. In English, the supreme position of shringar ras, this madhurya ras, the sweet divine love of Radha and Krishna, is established in upapati, or paramour love. Upapati means husband, and upa means additional. It means paramour love. My wife, and then plus I have a husband's married, so he has his wife, he's the pati, but then he has another wife. So he, for the married lady, that man is her upapati, additional pati. That, of course, by religion, that's immoral. It depends. I mean, Muslims can have many wives. That's part of their dharma, so it's okay. But in Hindu dharma, previously, old times, Hindu dharma, the kings and rajas, they would have many wives also, 10, 20, 50. It's told in Ramayana that Maharaj Dasharath had 360 queens. 360 wives. So, quite a few wives. So that's the old style. So that's in Hindu dharma and also in Muslim dharma. But in modern time in Hinduism, it's like one wife, like that. So, it's obviously immoral, but this is not, we're not talking about materialistic people, we're talking about Krishna, about Bhagavan, God, Shakti and Shaktiman. So now, what is the definition? He says that upapati or paramour love is what Sringar Rasa is all about. And text 20. In text 20, Rupa Goswami Pada is quoting Bharat Muni. Bharat Muni is not the same as Bharat Maharaj or Ma Bharat. India is called Bharat, named after Bharat Maharaj of the Bhagavatam. But there was also a Muni that lived long ago, I don't know how long ago, I can't say what time period, but his name is Bharat Muni, Rishi, Sage Muni. And he was a musician, and he was a Rasik Jana, and a musician, and a very highly learned person. I don't know whether he's a Dvaitin or Vaishnava, I don't know. But he wrote many books called Natya Shastra. And in Natya Shastra, he writes all about dance, drama, and how to express emotions, and all these rasas, and anubhavas, and sthayabhavas. He wrote all this rasa theology. So Rupa Goswami, he did not reinvent the wheel. The wheel already exists. So rasa and anubhav and sthayibhav and all these things, sattvic bhavas, they already exist because these are part of the exchanges of the devatas with the devis and the heavenly planets, with Krishna and his shaktis in the spiritual world, Lakshmi Narayan or Radha and Krishna and gopis and cowherd boys. All these feelings and sentiments and relationships are there. And here, in Naralila, in our human experience, we're human beings in Naralila, we have love stories and there's horror stories and there's fearful scenes and ghastly scenes and friendly love and all the type of love that happens in the spiritual world we have here. Sakyaras and Vatsalyaras and Madhuryaras and Dasyaras and Shantaras. All the same rasas are here. It's also ras, but this is called Prithvi. It's called Prithvi Ras. Prithvi. Prithvi. Prithvi means earth. Mother Earth is called Prithvi. Prithvi. So Prithvi Ras is Lokik. It's material Ras. A man, a husband and wife, they love each other. That's the husband-wife love. So that is there also in the spiritual world, Rukmini and Krishna and all the queens of Dwarka, husbands and wives. But then sometimes a man of this world, he has a wife and he has another lady friend, or the wife has a husband and another man friend. So that's called immoral or irreligious love. But that's called paramour love or upapati love. So this, everything originates with Krishna. And what Krishna is doing in Naralila, in the Goloka Vrindavan, then all the devis and devatas and Swarga and the higher regions, they're also doing, because they're all expansions of Radha and Krishna. And then if you come down from Swarga Loka and Mahaloka and Tapaloka, all these places, then you come down to Bhuloka. Bhuloka is the earth planet, and here there is also Naralila. There is human Leela. That's us, human beings. And we are also expansions of Krishna. All the ladies and gentlemen, all the Atmas are Krishna's parts and parcels. So the same Naralila of Goloka goes to Dwarka. That same Naralila of Dwarka goes to the heavenly planets with the devis and devatas. And that same Naralila of Radha and Krishna comes to the earth planet with the men and ladies and gentlemen of this world. So we have all these rasas, but these, of course, are temporary and limited, and they're based on the body and body relationships and material emotions and material sentiments. But the relationships of love and the rasas of the spiritual world are based on seva. The bottom line is seva, whereas the bottom line of all rasas here is enjoyment. There's so many rasas. We have friendship. Why do we have friendship? For to enjoy the pleasure of friendship. But there, pleasure is there, enjoyment is there, but the basis of all the rasas is the seva and happiness of Krishna. So this is the difference. And then it's not relationships with bodies or emotions being felt or experienced in bodies, material bodies. It's all the beings in that realm, the spiritual sky, Vaikuntha, whatever you want to call it. It's not a planet. It's not a fixed place. It's not a circular globe like sun, planet, Surya, Grahan, Chandra, moon, planet, Chandra, Grahan, this earth planet. It's not like that. It's amorphous. There's no shape. There's no dimension. There's no length. There's no width. There's no depth. There's no measurement. It's a plane of consciousness. It's a plane of prema. It's a plane of inconceivability. It's eternal, it's unlimited, and it's eternally, unlimitedly blissful and satisfying. It's called the spiritual sky, Parav Yom. Prabhupada translated the word para, which means transcendental or spiritual, to be spiritual. He translated the word para to be transcendental or spiritual. And then Vyom means sky. And so he said spiritual sky. So this is the nature that we're talking about, this, you can't touch it. It's a feel. What is love? Can you touch love? No, you feel it. You live it. You strive for it. You hope to find it. If you have it, you never want to lose it. So that itself is amorphous and immeasurable. I love you this much or this much. So imagine a whole realm that's made of that. We understand inconceivability. Achintya tattva, we understand, we live with it. You're related because of something you can't conceive. You're related because of something you can't measure. You're related because of something you can't weigh. It's called love. I love you, you love me. You're the husband, I'm the wife. That's inconceivable. So imagine an entire realm, entire space, entire dynamics, an eternal realm where everything is going on that inconceivable level of love. There's no bones, there's no flesh, there's no blood, there's no birth, there's no all of these, there's no disease, there's no anger, there's no envy, there's no competition, there's no false ego, there's no pride, there's all these goodies, all the goodies that we have don't exist. They're not there. So it's like sometimes these robots can't compute, cannot compute, cannot compute, reboot, reboot. You know, so that our brain it can't boot up, it can't conceive. What is it? I mean, all the yogis go to New York in the 1960s, and they Prabhupada's preaching all these rules and regulations, and down the street another yogi is saying, "It's only love. God is love, love, love." Meher Baba. He was from India. Meher. You can Google him up and find his history. Meher. Meher Baba. He's a big sensation, quite an interesting, saintly person. Great saint of India, no doubt. But he's only love. It's only love. Love. He's right. But everybody took it to mean my hippie love. My hippie girlfriend love, my hippie boyfriend love, and let's love. That's also good. Nothing wrong with any kind of love anywhere expressed. Especially now in a world of envy and hatred. Everyone hates and envies everyone. So if someone can love someone and honor someone, then it's all makes a better world. But now transcendence, totally immaculate love, unlimited love, and everything is just moving in love. Love moves love, love hits the ball, love moves the water, love moves my hair, love moves my mouth, everything is love. This is the Ujjvala Ras, this is the Vrindavan Dham. We will touch this love, we will touch this dynamic spiritual love of Vrindavan by touching the mercy of Krishna in Vrindavan. Mercy is like the dawn of love. Abbas, what do you say, Abbas? You know, sunrise, dawn, you know, when the sun is just rising. You can't see the globe, you cannot see the sun, but you can't see the stars, and you can't see the sun. And it's not dark and it's not light, that's called dawn, D-A-W-N. Sunrise or pre-dawn or whatever. How do you say in Bengali? What do you say? Arun? Arun? Arun Kal? Arun? Udilo Arun Puravabhage Dvijamani Gora Amani Jage Tatai Tatai Vajaloko Ganagana Jane Janjaro. Right? I mean, you sing much better. Real Asli Bangala Basha. Udila Aruna Purababa Dvijamani Goramani Jage Dvijamani Gaur. This is Arun. Now, who is Arun? Arun is the name of the chariot driver of Surya. Because first you see because in the old days they had long cars, really long cars. 16-cylinder engines in a straight line. So first you see the engine, then you see the driver. Oh, there's the car. There's the engines. They're like 20 feet long. Old cars are 10 meters long, 15 meters long. Really long, like boats. They look like boats, you know, boat, automobile. So first you see Arun, and he's there outside on the east gate of the temple, Singhadwara in Jagannath Puri. It's called Singhadwara, Lion Gate. That's Purvadig, Eastern Muk, Purva Muk. So Arun is there standing on a stamba. And he's the cousin of Garud, because he's a bird. He's a pakshi. Arun. So he's red in color. Why is he red in color? And because he got his feathers burned by Surya. Such a funny Puranic story. Arun is a red bird, and they say, why is he red? Because he's driving a chariot for the sun god. His passenger is Suryadev. So sitting in the back seat of his car is the sun planet. So he got his tail toasted. Yeah? He toasted his tail feathers. That's American style. He toasted his tail feathers, so the bird, literally his feathers are red. So that's Arun. So in that pinkish color represents Kripa, Krishna Kripa, and the full sun is the sun of Prema. And the bhava, when bhava tickles the heart, when a ray of that sun, that's called the Prema Kiran, when a ray of the sun of Krishna's Prema, when Krishna Prema rises, first there's the dawn, and before the sun there's the pink of dawn, and the pink of dawn is the Kripa of Radha Krishna. The Kripa of Radha Krishna will come in continuous waves. Like if you go to the beach, on the beach, the waves are going quite at a steady rate. And right before sunrise, the ocean becomes respectful because Varunadeva offers respects to Surya. So there's waves like in Puri or other oceans. The waves are coming, and right around sunrise, they're very big just before sunrise, then all of a sudden becomes very calm. Calm means like this, because the ocean, Varun is offering pranams, his tarpan and pranams to Suryadev. Then after sunrise, then again the waves. Special phenomenon. So similarly, we want to submerge in the ocean of prema. So prema is like the sun rises. But when the sun rises on the ocean, then before the sun rises, it makes the ocean very calm and pacified. Waves are there. And the waves on the ocean before the peaceful, blessed ocean when the sun rises are the waves of Kripa that come from Radha and Krishna and from devotees. So as these waves increase more and more, you see the dawning of the sun of Prema. The Kripa is the Arun, is the Abbas, Prema Abbas, comes as Kripa. And you start to, the Kripa as it increases, as Kripa and mercy ingresses, comes inside of you more and more as a bhakta, then you feel that I'm getting closer and closer to the rising sun of prema. That's the analogy that's used by Sri Rupa Goswami Pad and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu when describing the appearance of bhava and prema. As we are sadhana bhaktas, and we're practicing Vaidhi sadhana, then Raghunuga sadhana, then bhava, then prema. That's the goal, Krishna prema, prema pumarta mahan. So as the Kripa increases more and more, then we see the light of prema. Oh, prema is very close. You'll think that when you see the pink in the sky, you'll think the sun is very close. The sun is coming very soon. It's only a matter of minutes or seconds or whatever. So when a Kripa reaches a certain extent within an individual sadhaka's life, then he sees the dawning. He sees the early rays of dawn. And then as it comes more, then that first kiran that comes, that is the ray of bhava. Bhava comes from the ocean, from the sun of prema of Krishna's heart, or the sunshine of prema in the heart of Krishna's eternal associates, or the sadhana siddha, guru varg. The gurus and the guru parampara, the sadhana siddhas, from their hearts or from the hearts of the eternal associates of Radha and Krishna, or from Radha and Krishna, or Rupa Manjari, or Rati Manjari, or Vishakha Sakhi, directly they can illuminate the darkened hearts of the sadhaka with those rays of their prema, which will come first as a prema kiran, which is a ray of bhava. So this is the relationship between kripa, and that's why everywhere we're encouraged and we're told to behave properly. Behave properly, think properly, feel properly, have the proper attitude and behavior, because if you do that, and you're doing that with Vaishnavas, then you may get Kripa, you may get blessings. And when the Kripa, Vaishnava Kripa, and Bhagavan Kripa, and Dham Kripa, and Nam Kripa, and Seva Kripa, and Shastra Kripa, and all the different types of Kripa amalgamate and combine together, then they will come as a large downpour of mercy. And that mercy will come first as a downpour to wash the heart, to completely make the heart pure and white and clean. Chaito Dharpana Marginal. So that downpour will come. So now the heart is clean, And now you're waiting for the sun to rise, and then the sun rises. So that this, we're preparing ourselves to enter the plane of prema. We're preparing ourselves to enter the land of love. So we're discussing, this is the whole, where it's an excursion. We're on an excursion. Like they have sea cruises. You can go on a sea cruise from Calcutta to Singapore to Malaysia or Fiji. So we're on a sea cruise. We're going to cross the ocean of devotion to enter the hearts of Radha and Krishna. It's actually, another book, another textbook, another class. Actually, it's a very amazing and interesting escapade. It's a journey. It's a traveling into the heart of Radha and Krishna. Because everyone says from day one, we have that notion. We have that notion or idea before we even approach Krishna or come to a temple. I want happiness. I want happiness. I want peace. I want to have real love that really fills my mind up with joy and fills my heart up with satisfaction. I'm looking for that type of love, that type of prem. So then the transcendentalists or the gurus or the spiritualists, they say you can have this prema. You will get this prema from Krishna or Krishna's devotees. So this is the whole goal, Krishna prema paramartha mahan. Everyone says, what is the goal of Krishna consciousness? When you just join, you recite the 10 offenses to the holy name. And after reciting the Dasaparad in unison in the temple, everyone would say the last. And also, they would tack on one more offense. Dasaparad, and they would tack on. It is also considered, it's considered, they would say. There's Dasaparad, and it is also considered that inattention. It's called pramad. Pramad japa. Pramad japa means you're indifferent. You're indifferent. You're chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Palak, kitna rupya, ekilo, kitna rupya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This is called pramad japa. It's inattentive and it's indifferent. And it's no feelings and it's offensive. And it goes on everywhere. You see everywhere. So many good examples. Everyone walking everywhere, chanting, talking, buying. It's all Bekar Japa. And Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sri Jiva Goswami Pad is telling in 14th Vilas, he says, Swajapa Malikam Sugopya. This is Sanskrit. Swajapa Malikam Sugopya. Very simple. It's like Hindi. He's explaining, after you chant your japa, your Swajapa Malikam means your Japamala. After you chant your Japamala, you should leave it in a safe and secure place and keep it secret. Sugopya. Sugopya. Very secret. This is a very exciting book, but we might say it's dry, but it's not dry. It's very wet. And if it's dry, it's because we are so dry. We are so very, very dry. Shukshma. We're like this dry. No ras. Like cane. Cane is hard. Gunaras. It's hard outside. You have to use a machine. You have to use an apparatus. Unless you're a UP wala. If you're a UP wala, you take the cane. Gunaras. With your danta. Because they're tough. UP on me. Kub jor shakti. They chew up the cane like a beaver or like whatever. You know, just chop it up. But an ordinary person has more sensitive teeth, then he'll use a machine, then out comes the rust. So everybody has a heart, but everybody's heart is very hard, like a rock, steel frame. Has to be juiced, has to be put through the juicer. You have to squeeze very hard to make the heart soft and get juice out of it. And that's the process of bhakti. It begins there, the softening of the heart. The cleansing of the mind means softening of the heart. The mind becomes dirty because the heart is hard. When the heart is hard, then the mind becomes ganda, dirty. So Mahaprabhu said, Cheto Dharma Marjana. Cheto Dharma Marjana, you have to really scrub and clean. This vim powder and this thing and that thing and really work hard. So here's Krishna. He's a lover. He's the dashing, immaculate, transcendental lover with a peacock feather stuck in his hair. justice sake, the society, you know. Everyone wears their top hat or their tie and shirt. And Krishna just says, oh, here's my hair. He just wraps it up like this. Oh, we need a hey, boys, we need a finishing touch. Oh, yeah. Oh, look at this peacock feather. Yeah, give me that. Ta! I'm Krishna. That's all I need, a peacock feather in my hair. I don't need a diamond brooch. I don't need a moti mala. I don't need anything. I'm cool the way I am. This is Krishna. Dear Lalita. Imagine, so puffed up, so proud. I just throw something over my neck, some piece of cloth over my neck, stick my chest out, and tie up my hair and put a peacock feather, and I just walk around like I own the place. And do nothing but play. I have no responsibilities. I have no cares, no worries, no children. I don't own these cows. They're owned by my father. If I lose 10 of them or 20 of them, he's not going to spank me because he loves me too much. I'll just say some Adivasis came from Rajasthan and they stole some cows. Oh, come on, you should be more attentive. That's all. Take some rubbery, be more attentive. So I have no bills, no tax, nothing. Just play. I'm a play lord, and this is a play land, and my life is full of play. So why not come play with me? This is the nirmantran, this is the invitation. An invitation to play, an invitation to love, an invitation to sing, an invitation to dance, an invitation to eat a feast, invitation to want to wrestle, let's wrestle. Invitation to splash water, to throw colors, to ride on a swing, to dance under the trees, to dance under the moon, to dance on the banks of a river, to dance in the forest, to dance in a cave, to climb a mountain, to enter a cave. It's all play. It's Vrindavan. It's Krishna. And he's so playful, and he's so carefree, and we're so uptight, and we're so unplayful, and so like rigid and steel-hearted, because we're in Maya. We're all heavily covered. You, me more than all of you. We're all covered so much by Maya, but we're looking at this kind of world, and we're hearing about this kind of world. We want to enter this kind of world. So, what can we do? We're enchanted, we're entranced, we're astonished, we're captivated, we're hooked, we're stuck. Can't quit. Can't quit, and you can't go forward. When Krishna's Kaviraj defies the when he defines prema, he said, what is prema? What is this Mahabhava? What is this prema of Radha and Krishna? What can you compare it with? You know what it's like? It's like garam gana, ati ati garam gana ras. Ati ati garam gana ras. It's like hot sugar cane juice. You know sugar cane juice? Sweet green juice. Ras, liquid, drink, beverage. Sugar cane juice. It's hot. It's boiling. And why? Because this prema of Radha and Krishna, this intimate, beautiful, loving affairs they have in transcendental realm and spiritual bodies of Satchitananda, transcendence and pure, immaculate beings, their love is so sweet. It's so sweet. It's so sweet you can't resist. It's too sweet to resist and too hot to drink. This is hot sugar cane juice. It's sugar cane juice. It's so sweet. I really want to drink this juice, but it's so burning hot. I'll burn my tongue off. I'll be suffering for days. So Krishna's prema is so sweet, but we're so bitter. Our hearts are so bitter. Our minds are so bitter. So we have to prepare ourselves by doing bhakti bhajan. Become sweet. We say Madhurya Ras, Madhurya Bhav, Shringar Ras. Where are we and where is the Madhurya? We're talking about sweetness. And then we hear that verse in CC, and there's also other verses. It says, Bhagavata, Bhagavata Madhurya Saragun, or something like that. The essence of Bhagavan is sweetness. It's one shloka from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhagavata Saragun or something. His essence, his essential quality, the Saragun, Madhurya Saragun, Bhagavat Madhurya Saragun. But the essence, the essential quality of Bhagavan is sweetness. Madhurya. So let's hear, because what happens, the more we hear about sweetness, the more sweet we become. If you have a glass, and it's really nice, inside is full of Corella juice, Corella Ras, very good for the everything. Whatever is inside of you will come out. Anything bad inside of you will come out and run away full speed. Because Sridhar Swami and Radhanath Swami and I were taking this every day at 6 a.m. in 2000 and somewhere, 2005 in Missouri in Landauer in the International Hindi School. Three students, one passed and two failed. Who passed? Who passed? Sridhar Swami. Who failed? Radhanath Swami and yours truly. We failed, but we drank a lot of Corella juice. And Govinda, some guy, Brahmachari, Govinda, Govinda, he was cooking. So we were all there living in some cabin up in the pine trees in Landauer, which is 2,000 feet above Mussoorie. It was wild, wild time, really wild time. Anyway, so every morning it was recommended by Sridhar Swami that we had to clean out our everything, clean out our livers and gallbladders and drink this every day for 10 days. So Radhanath Swami and I were making so many jokes and all that. And so was Sridhar, because we're all Americans. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. So it's like, yeah, this is the process of bhakti, you know. We have to clean out. It's all bitter. It's all Corella juice. All of our envy, our greed and our anger and our lust and our envy. It's like drinking so much Corella juice. Wow. When we finish that, afterwards we take a glass of water. We say, my God, this water is so sweet. It's so fantastic. It was just water. It wasn't the water from Krishna's feet. It wasn't Charanamrita. It was just plain old H2O. It's like, oh. So that's what it'll be like when we finally we stop drinking the bitter Corella juice or neem juice of material life and material consciousness. Then we'll begin to taste drop by drop, drip by drip, 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 of that sweet nectar of Gana Ras, that Madhurya Ras. Because if you taste a few drops, you want to drink a glass. If you drink a glass, you want a liter. If you drink a liter, you want 5 liters. If you drink 5 liters, you want 10 liters. And there's no end to the consumption. And there's no end to the supply. And there's no end to the thirst. This is Krishna Prema. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. So this we want. We're thirsty. We're greedy. We're lobbies. You're Raganuga Bhakta. You're greedy. You're a greedy lady. Very greedy. And I'm also very greedy for this little blue boy and his loving service and Radharani's loving service. So this is the supreme position as established. So what does Bharat Muni say? We heard a lot about him, but we haven't heard what he said. He's saying about the Supapati, he says, which I this is text 20. Bharat Muni says, Bahu Varyate Kalu Yacha Prachana Kamukatvamcha Yacha Mito Durlabata Sa Manmat Sa Manmat Manmatasya Param Rati Paramarati. Manmatasya Paramarati. Sa Manmatasya Paramarati. Bharat Muni says, first, Rupa Goswami makes a statement with his own Sanskrit words. For us, that's enough. That's Praman. That's Purvacharya. It's Acharyavani. It's Praman. We accept it. It's proof. He says, the supreme position of intimate love is Sringar Ras. It's shown and established. I mean, in other words, the topmost form of man-woman love is the love between men and women that aren't married. And that's called paramar love or upapati. So he says, the supreme position, shringar means madhurya, rati, madhurya ras means the love between man and woman, or the gopis and Krishna. So that's established, or that's shown, or that's seen, or that's experienced, when the lover, one of the lovers, in this case Krishna, takes the role of the upapati, additional husband of the married lady named Radha. So now he says that, then he says, not only I say it, but the Ras Acharya says it. the universally accepted Rasacharya, because it awakens non-Vaishnavas. Sometimes they may discuss different shastras, discuss ras. They may even quote Bharat Muni, or even Advaitins when they're talking about ras for some reason or other, although there's no ras in Brahman. But they may quote. So Bharat Muni is an accepted authority on rasic natya shastra for everyone. So if you quote him, Bharat Muni, then everyone will accept, yes, this is correct. So the legitimacy and the authenticity and the value and worth of the Ujjala Nilamani as a Brahmanic Shastra is established by virtue of the fact that Rupa Goswami repeatedly cites the accepted, the Shrutis, the Smritis, the Puranas, and Bhagavatam, etc., to establish and prove his points and position. So that gives it credence, that gives it strength, that gives it authority, and it gives it historicity, it gives it a sense of history, because he quotes the most ancient scriptures to describe the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, which were only 50 centuries ago. So Bharat Muni, now he says this Upapati Bhav, so let's find out more about that. So he quotes, the paramour lover is the topmost form of Sringar Ras. And in that love affair, obviously the desires of the wife and the desires of her additional husband are highly secret. They're hidden. So Bharat Muni, that's why he says prachana. Prachana means very hidden. Extremely. Chana means hidden, but prachana means very, very secret and hidden. In seventh canto of Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj, he mentions one verse where he's talking about, oh my lord, Nrisingadev, in many ages you come to this world to kill the demons and to save the devotees. And in the age of Kali, you come as a Chana avatar. In the age of Kali, you appear as a Chana, C-H, it's not like the chickpeas or something, C-H-A-N-N-A-H, Chana. Chana avatar, hidden, concealed. So the Gaudi Vaishnava Acharyas, when they're establishing some pramana or facts about the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, then they often cite this verse. They say, see, here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the seventh canto, the Mahajan, Bhakta Prahlad, is one of the Dwadasa Mahajans listed by Yamaraj in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam. Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, Prahlado, Janako, Bhishma. Prahlado, Janako, Bhishma. Then goes on Vyasaki, then Vyasadeva, and also Yamaraj himself, Dharmaraj, or Yamaraj, who is speaking the verse. So there he cites Swayambhuva Manu and Brahma and Shiva, Shambhu, and Janak Maharaj and Bhishma Dev, and of course Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj is cited in this verse, Chana Avatar, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Chana. He's not saying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's saying Chana Avatar. So our acharyas say, see, this hidden avatar, every other avatar is revealed, understood, known, named, identified. But this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the Madhvas are great devotees of Vishnu, of Lord Vishnu and Vaikuntha, Madhvacharya and Madhva Sampradaya, great Vaishnavas, very strict and very learned and very Shastra Nipun. But they say, Lord Chaitanya? Who is Lord Chaitanya? He's a Bengali saint. He's not Bhagavan. Bhagavan? No way. Swayam Bhagavan? Never. So that's their conception. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Chana. So here, this Bharakiya Bhava is called Prachana. Hidden. Very hidden. That love which causes great opposition because it's against normal dharma, dharma virud. What does it say here? Bahu varyate kalu yatra prachana kamukatvam cha mito durlabhata. It's against dharma, that's one point, and it necessitates that love is very, very secret. Prachana, and it makes it hard for the lovers to meet together. And it produces the most intense, amorous joy for the lovers. Parama Rati. Interesting. In this book, the translation says that Parama sa manmatasya. Manmatasya. Manmata. Man means mind. And mata means matura. We say matura. Matura. And Mathura, Mat means, like there's one village in across Yamuna called Mat Gaon. So Mat means to churn. Put this wooden instrument inside, like a stick with a little churning rod, and tie a rope around it, and then pull it like this. And tie that churning rod. First, you have the pot of yogurt, clay pot of yogurt. Then you put in it, but you have to have a column. That's why you always see Yashoda near a column. You know, column, stamba, column, kamba, column, pillar. So you have the clay pot on the floor, full of, or maybe on a stand also. You should have some small stand because milk is considered sacred, so like a shastra. So the clay pot doesn't sit directly on the floor. It sits on a small stand. Also, it doesn't rotate either that way. So it sits on a small grass base and also honors the liquid dharma from the cow, Gomata. So they put the wooden churn inside. Then there's the pillar. So then the churning rod, which is the pivot, that is tied from the backside to the pillar with a rope. So it doesn't go anywhere, it's held straight. Then tie another rope around with two wooden handles on it, goes around like this. So when you pull the ropes, pivotal point, the churning rod stays straight because it's being pulled from behind and you're pulling from the front. You got it? Then maybe you've done it. You've done it? Gopi. So I have seen, and I tried once, but it's so hard. I mean, wow. This lady across the street, one of my parosi, they have a bunch of buffaloes and they were churning. They have one time they're churning. They're making ghee. Every once in a while they make ghee. They collect a lot of milk or whatever they do. They're making ghee, and then she was churning. I said, here, try. It was hard. It was not easy. I did it for a few minutes and I went, oh, you do it. So I'm not going to be a very good gopi. I don't think I have to do some. I think I better brush Radharani's hair, do some Sringar Seva, some more light work. This Brijvasi lady was just like, couldn't cut it. You know. So Krishna, he doesn't churn, he just steals the stuff. So I like that. I like that kind of way. I'd rather follow Krishna's lead and just bust in, steal the yogurt, Makanchur. Bhagavan, Makanchur, Sri Krishna ki jai. So Bharat Muni, he perfectly analyzed all the problems which makes paramour love so exciting because it's hard to meet. So then every minute of meeting you value. Every single meeting. Make every minute last forever. May this minute with you last forever. Beautiful love sayings that lovers say here and there. So Krishna said, okay. The gopis were with, when Krishna was dancing with the gopis are putting their arm around it, and then on the plea of telling, it says in Vishnu's Atika, on a plea of, one gopi put her arm around Krishna when they were dancing, and on a plea of telling him a secret, she said, Shyam, she's dancing, I want to tell you a secret. So then she approached his ear to tell his secret, and then she kissed his cheek. And then Krishna said, you know. So they play, it's a play. Krishna won't tell you secrets, so then he went like this. They're dancing, so he went, yeah, okay. Like this. Put his ear while they're dancing. So then she went like she's going to tell, but the gopi said, I want to tell you a secret. Okay, tell me. I'm going to tell you about this gopi or whatever, some rumor. Who knows, you know, whatever they tell. So Krishna puts his ear, and she goes, and they're dancing. There's all going on. They're dancing. I mean, they can do many things at one time. I mean, you can talk on the phone, cook the rice, and watch the baby, and you know, look out the window. You know, you do everything at once. You know, you're only the housewife. What to speak of Krishna? He's dancing. He's playing flute, and he's dancing, and he's sending all kinds of signals. I'll meet you at 10 o'clock. I'll meet you at 11 o'clock. I'll meet you at 12 o'clock. He's going one go. Everything's going on. SMS, flute playing, dancing, everything. So this is wild. So Krishna. Every part of Krishna is so sweet. So then translator said, because it's hard for the lovers to meet, this is the highest type of love, parama rati. But actually the phrase, according to this translator, which is more apropos and correct to the Sanskrit, parama rati means that because it's so difficult, there's so much opposition, and it's against dharma, it's a dharmic, it's irreligious, it's immoral, you shouldn't do it, you go to hell. You can break your sati brata, you go to hell for 10,000 million lifetimes. and become a worm and a pig, and a village pig for 10 lifetimes, and a village worm for 14 lifetimes, and a village owl for 5 lifetimes, and a, you know, they have all these breakdowns in Garuda Purana. When you violate the Shastra, Dharma Vivrud, and you break the codes of Dharma and act irreligiously, there's incredible hells you go to, and then when you get out of hell, you orbit and rotate through various animal species in the village that you lived in. Whatever village you lived in and performed your atrocities or dharmic activities, then you take birth in that village 16 times as a village pig, Radhakund pig, five births as a Radhakund monkey, 3 births as a Radhakund dog. It's crazy, amazing stuff. Unabridged Garuda Govinda, if you're interested, go for an interesting tour, a karmic tour. Save your time. Take it from me, just Shanari Krishna. Be a good devotee in Shanari Krishna. So this is, this Parama Rati means it produces the most intense amorous joy for the lovers. And so Krishna, because you get the greatest gain, it requires the greatest risk. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. So the gain of gaining the love of Radharani and Radharani gaining Krishna's love is worth the risk. It's a great risk. You get caught by the elders. You go to next life. You go to hell. And so many things are there in Nara Lila. So risk and gain, they go hand in hand. So Krishna consciousness is based on the formula of gain, but it requires a lot of risk also. You have to throw away everything. Krishna says, Krishna's putting everybody in a very dangerous and perilous situation. He demands that, commands that, and nothing short of that will bring us success. Sarva Dharma Pratyaja. Sarva Dharma. He's putting us in peril. Krishna is putting us in peril. P-E-R-I-L. Not apparel. It'd be nice if he puts us in new apparel. That means new dress. But he's putting us in peril, in disaster, in danger. He's saying, throw away everything. Family, dharma, ashram, everything. Just become my bhakta. That's all. Just love me, serve me, think of me, wash me, offer obeisances to me. But first, you have to throw away everything to do that perfectly and purely and properly and absolutely and forever. We're not throwing away. No, this is nice. I can't throw it away. We can't even throw away the extra plastic bags in our kitchen. What to speak? Throw away the calm, crowed lobe in our hearts. We like them very much. We keep them forever. If we keep a plastic bag for 99 years, how many lifetimes have we been holding on to our calm, crowed lobe? Many. So start letting go, at least, of your plastic bags. Those old Levi's with 5 holes in, you haven't worn in 3 years, but they're still in your closet. Those old track shoes you bought 5 years ago that you said, oh no, maybe I'll use them sometime. And every week you get 10 kilos fatter and never go on the track. And the shoes just sit there with an idle hope that someday I'll start running. Your 10,000 ruby Pumas. Donate them, give them away. No, I'm attached, they're mine. Niskinshin, akinshin. If I walk out of here right now, I'm not going to look back. There's nothing. I'll take Giraj with me, my mala, Govinda Lilamrita, Chalagan, Vas. Don't look back. Let go and don't look back. This is a brief way to say Sarva Dharman Prityaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja. We're in Braj. You live permanently in Braj. Means to let go of everything. This is our duty, especially we. You know. We made it, because Braj means move, go, do it. Jiva Goswami's Tika. He's talking about the definition of this Upapati Bhav and this Paramour love. That attraction. Jiva Goswami asks a question. Why is this? Why is it that Krishna's pastimes with the women in Braj establishes the highest position of Sringar Ras? Sringar Ras means the love between the wife and the husband, or the man and the woman. So Krishna has that love. He has that love in a very huge and amazing way in Dwarka. So that's Sringar Rati, that's Madhurya Ras, that's Sringar Ras. It's the same meaning. But this Braja Sringara Rasa is called Nirmal Vishuddha. Nirmal Vishuddha Sringara Rati is completely pure, absolutely pure, pure. Nirmal Vishuddha is double, double. Pure, pure, very, very pure. And it's Sringara Rasa. And because it gives Krishna, he loves Rukmini, he loves Satyabhama, experiences great ecstasy and happiness by their seva, inner association, being with them, being henpecked by them. Because in Dwarka Leela, there's mostly Aishwarya, but there's drops and occasional rain showers here and there. And the hot suns of Aishwarya to introduce to Madhurya. But generally, everything's very official. I'm the king, you're the queen, you do what I say, you're the queen, you're the pati dharma, I'm your pati guru, I'm the raja, I'm your guru, I'm your husband. But then, there's also sweetness. Because Satyabhama is the amsh of Radharani. So she brings the sweetness of Braj to Dwarka Leela. Satyabhama is the harbinger, or she's the carrier of the sweet Vrajaras touch to sweeten the personality and presentation and pastimes of Krishna and Dwarka. They're sweetened and made somewhat like Braj because of the presence of Satyabhama. So Satyabhama is one time, when Narada Muni, he went to Indravaka. And there's a beautiful bagicha there, full of parijat trees. Parijat, what do you say? Parijat in English, what do we say? What do you say? Parijat. They say parijat flower. Some other name sometimes, what do you say? Can't think. Anyway, so in the Bhagavatam, this story is there, 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Dwarka Leela. So then Narada Muni at the wedding of Rukmini from Swarga, from the Nandakantan gardens of Indradev, then Narada Muni arrived with a beautiful parijat flower from heaven, Swarga say. So he offered this to Krishna. He said, "My Lord, my dear Bhagavan Sri Krishna, this is for your queen, very rare and beautiful flower." So he gave it to Rukmini. She was very thrilled. She immediately put it in her bun, in her hair bun or whatever. She braid or whatever she had, I don't know, whatever it was. And she's showing it off. See, look, I've got a flower from Swarga. So then Satyabhama saw that and said, this is not good. You know, she got this flower and I didn't get one. You know, I want one too. But I don't want a flower. I want a whole tree. So then once Krishna said, "Listen, Indra has invited me for some social function. I'm leaving Dwarka, I'm going there, and I'll just come right back." He told the queens to relax, I'll be right back. And then Satyabhama said, "Remember when I was kind of miffed and angry, you know, that you gave that, you know, that parijat flower to Rukmini? And then at that time, Krishna, you told me that, okay, you know, whatever in the future, because now I made you unhappy, but I'll make you happy, because in the future I'll do whatever you want." So then at this time, when Krishna said he was going to Indraloka for this official function or party or whatever, I don't know, guest appearance, then Satyabhama said, "Remember that promise you made that you would give my promise? Yes. Can you take me with you to Swargaloka?" Yes, come. So they got to Swargaloka. And royal function, royal reception, everything is there. You can read in Bhagavatam. So then they're leaving the party. Krishna got on his vahan, and Dhruva is driving, Satyabhama and Dwarkadesh are relaxing on the vahan, on the rath, on his chariot, coming back to Dwarka through the airways. It's all very, of course, subtle travel, invisible travel, but they say vahan, and they say chariot. It's invisible. This is on the transcendental plane. So they come back, and when they're walking out, then Satyabhama stops and says, "What is on the other side of that wall? What is that?" Because they were on the road going into Amarnath or whatever it's called, Indrapuri. And so that's Nandakandanan. That's the private garden of Indra. So he said, "I'd like to see that garden. Can we go there? Can we go in that garden and see?" And so Dwarkadesh said, "Yeah, Dhruva, pull over, park the car. I mean, you know, park the chariot." So he parked the chariot, then they're walking, and then the Mali the Mali came with them, the gardener, and he was pointing out, see this? And then Shatibhama said, what kind of tree is that? That tree? All those trees? Oh, that's Kadamba. What kind of tree is that? And he said, that's a Parijat. Oh. And then Satyabhama whispered in Krishna's ear and said, remember you promised, you know, you would give me whatever I wanted? This is what I want. You gave one flower, Parijat, Narada Muni gave, you gave to, only to her and not to me. And so I want you to take that whole tree. I want to plant it in my front yard. And so every day when Rukmini walks by my palace, she'll see my Parijat tree. You know the mentality. We know very well how that works. This is very nice. Rub it in nice. So Krishna said, oh my God, what a fix. So there the acharyas say, here Dwarkadish, the great god, is showing the role of a henpecked husband, someone who is controlled by his lover, Premvasibhut. So this is the quality of Krishna as a dear Lalit Nayak hero. As a dear Lalit Nayak, one of the primary symptoms, he is controlled by his lover. So at this instance, because ordinarily the chivalrous hero, Dwarkadish is known as a chivalrous hero, Dhirodatta. Dhirodatta is a chivalrous, heroic, kingly type hero, very sober, very courageous and generous. Now he abandons that and takes on the nature of Krishna, which is dear Lalit, and carefree and controlled by his lovers. And this is Braja Madhurya. So this is why they say Dwarka Leela is mixed, Aishwarya Madhurya mixed. So then Krishna just grabbed the tree with his hand, pulled out of the ground, threw on a chariot. Namali said, what? What's going on? Immediately sent messengers to run to Indradev. Indradev, Krishna you just had a party, you fed him, chop and bog, and that was a great time, and music and dancing girls, everything was wonderful. And now he just came to your garden, his wife told him, or he just stole a tree. What? Get the soldiers, attack him. So now then Indra starts shooting arrows from behind and chasing Krishna and shooting him. Give me back my tree, you bummy, thief, you chore. I mean, I heard when you were a baby you were a chore stealing yogurt, but I didn't think you'd bring your thievery pastimes all the way to Swarga. Haven't you learned anything? That was Braj when you were just a stupid coward boy. Now you're a kshatriya, you have a whole kingdom, and you're acting like a nonsense, you know, Brijwasi, UP wallet. Some chore, you know, what is this? You're supposed to be a dignified, respectable king, lord of the universe, lord of Dwarka. You're acting like just a petty thief from UP. Stealing a tree. Petty thief from UP stealing my tree. So Krishna, of course, Krishna just turned, you know, put it in high gear and flew away. Left Indra crying without his treeless garden. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Ki Jai. So this is Krishna. So there he's showing us. So that's the Pati Bhav, not the Parakya Bhav. So Bharat Muni says, and Jiva says, this attraction which causes great obstacles into union or meeting for Radha and Krishna, in which there's hidden desire for union and which is hard to attain for both, is considered the highest attraction related to love. The excellence of this Upapati Parakya Bhav and this Sringarati is established by all these factors mentioned, such as being prevented. And then Vishnu Chakravarti says, the author, Rupa Goswami Pad, proves his point that the Upapati, that the Paramar lover and the love of the Paramar lover is far superior and far greater than the love of the husband for the wife, although it's also called Madhura Rati, this amorous love of husband and wife. But still, it doesn't have these factors, so that makes it less exciting, less thrilling, less secret, less tasting, and less fun. So the factors are, Bharat Muni says, to repeat, there's great opposition. It's Arya Patam Chaitvam, Uddhava Mahashaya, in chapter 47 of 10th canto, he says says Arya Patam Chaitvam, Swajana Pratyaga, what does it say? Vrindavanakim Parityaja. Parityaja Swajanam. He says, Parityaja, Swajanam, Arya Patam Chaitvam, Bejur Mukundam, Padavim, Shrutibir Vimigriam. And Uddhava Maharshi is praying that this love of the gopis is very difficult even for the Shrutis to understand. Shruti Vimrigyam. They cannot understand it. The personified rishis, the great rishis and munis are so vidvan and chaturvedi and shastra nipun and expert and learned in all shastra. They sing the Purusha Shukta every day in Vaikuntha to wake up Vishnu. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Sara Pada Pashanti Surya Jurjiva Chakshara Tatam Taviprasa. They sing all these Rig Veda and Purusha Shukta prayers to wake up. This resting, Yoga Nidra Vishnu, these Shrutis, same Shrutis, they cannot understand. Parityaja Swajanam, they completely rejected their mothers and fathers and husbands and sisters and brothers and everything. Parityaja, parityag, parityaja. Swajanam, Arya Batam Chahitwa. Hitwa means also to reject. And the path of a religious woman. They rejected that. They rejected all of that. Why? To do Mukunda Bhajan. Mukunda Bejur. So this is, and they're being glorified as the greatest, although they're, by religious definition, it's immoral or it's irreligious. So Rupa Goswami is proving his point by quoting the great Rasa Charya, Purvacharya Bharat Muni. And he said that Bharat Muni is not only the acharya, but he is the originator. He is the origin of Ras. He's the founder of the theory of Ras. Theory of Ras means that language or body of writings and verses and shlokas. It's not a theory, it's a reality. Don't get misconceived. Theory means something imaginary. Theory means it's the science of Ras, or the principles and aspects and feelings that go into the exchanges between people, which produce something called joy or rasa or taste or pleasure or happiness, that's experienced in the mind, it's experienced in the heart, it's experienced in the atma, in the whole body, and everything we have. That rasa, once it's aroused and once it's generated, it resonates and vibrates and expands and moves through every aspect of our identity and being. From the psychic, subtle aspect of the Ahamkara identity and Atma and intelligence and mind, then it goes to the indriya, to the senses, to the body, to the skin, to the hair, to pores and eyes and nose, everything. We're crying, we're drooling, we're shivering, our hairs are standing on end, our color is changing, our mind is thrilling and backflips of ecstasy, and our heart is melting in inconceivable tastes of joy that we're experiencing such a rush of intense happiness, that all we can do is shout. It's called an anubha. Uchai, uchai, uchai. Shouting, Radhe, Radhe, Krishna, Krishna. It says that Nirtiti, it says, there's one verse, a very famous verse, is quoted maybe four times. A Sanskrit shloka from the Srimad Bhagavatam, quoted four times in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and all through the Goswami books and Sandarvas. Evam Vrata, so evam vrata so priya nama kirtya. That's the first line. Evam vrata, evam svanama priya nama kirtya. So then it says, when one attains, it's a description of the symptoms of someone at bhava, has attained bhava. It's in all the shloka books, even Prabhupada's shloka book. Evam vrata priya nama sakirtya. That when one attains bhava, then he engages in kirtan. He sings kirtan of his favorite name of Krishna. He might just chant, shout out, Radhe, Radhe, Shyam, Shyam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. In a madness. And you can read Braj Ke Bhakta in Hindi. And there's so many descriptions of Babaji, sannyasis, of brahmacharis, riyasas, ladies, gents, all great Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. And also in Bhaktamala by Navadas. And sometimes they're experiencing this great union with God, this loving union and joy of embracing God directly through their heart and mind and senses and their soul. So they shout and they cry. So this verse, Devam Vratasva Priyanama Kirtya, goes on to explain. He's doing Nam Sankirtan in the state of Bhava. Then it says, Rodati, Hasati. It says, Hasati, Rodati. Hasati Rodati Nirtyati. Hasati Rodati Nirtyati. Then it says Uchai Lokabaya Lokabaya Navichari. In other words, it says Hasati Rodati Hasati Rodati Nirtyati means sometimes he laughs, ha ha, oh Krishna, oh you're so funny, you're so clever. You go, oh Gornitai. Some thieves came in and stole all the utensils. And now there's no utensils, so no pots. So guess what, Gornitai? I'm not going to cook for you anymore. Ha ha ha. So you'll just have to fast. And whatever I get in Madhukari, if I get some roti or something, then you have a piece of roti. I can't cook you kitchi, I can't cook you anything. Because you're so busy playing, you don't take a look after your things. And I went to do Madhukari. Who is this devotee? Who is laughing in ecstasy while he's talking to his Gornitai deities? Vamshidas Vaji Maharaj ki jai. Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj. He was a premi bhakta, his siddha mahatma, siddha soul, siddha sant. So this is an example. Rodati hasati. Rodati means crying, oh Krishna, when will I, oh Radharani, when will this Tulsi Manjari, when will this Tulsi Manjari ever get to see? When will I ever be justified? I can't do it. I can't say anything. This useless head of mine. My head is useless. What? It's on top of my body, but it's useless. Oh, Radharani, Rodati, 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 crying. When will you make use of my head? When can I honestly and truly say my head is uttamanga? When can I say this sheer mustak, apne sheer mustak is uttamanga? When can I rightly and truly say that my head is the topmost limb of my body? Anga, this is anga. This Anga, and this is Anga, Uttamanga. When can I say that my head is, when can I really, truly, honestly say that my head is the topmost part of my body? When you put your lotus footprint marks on my forehead. This is the prayer in Vilap Kusumanjali. Vilap Kusumanjali by Das Goswami Pada. So it's Vilap, this is Rodati, Hasati Rodati. I gave an example of Hasati with Vamshidas Babaji and laughing and joking with his deities. And then this is Rodati. Das Goswami Pada, right here. And then Nakshivanandas Babaji Maharaj, he says in his purport, he says, the great saints, Sannyasi Babaji's ladies, whoever, sadvis or saints, sants or sadvis, living here at Radhakund, even at night, when they're doing bhajan in a very high state of pure consciousness and peaceful minds and hearts, when they're doing bhajan, it's still, still here, even on the banks of Radhakund, they can still hear the crying and rodati, crying and wailing of Das Goswami. Ha Swamini, ha Radhe, ha Radhe, Radhe Radhe, kotai, kotai, kotai. Hasati, rodati, nirtiti. Sometimes they dance. Radhe! Gauranga Nachare, Gauranga Nachare, Gauranga Nachare. So this is a beautiful verse in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam describing the ecstatic symptoms and Lokabaya, they don't vichar, Lokavichar, Lokabaya, they don't care anything. The popular opinion or what people think, they don't care. People are by Lokabaya, this is the last line, Charapada. They're very far away. Because they're seeing Krishna everywhere at every moment. And they're experiencing that great bliss of sattva-vikaras and anubhavas. And it's they shout as an anubhav. And they tremble and they cry. That's a sattva-vikar. It's all rising from their sthayi-rati. Their sthayi-rati, a madhura-rati, their mandri-vav. Those great saints. And they're experiencing Radha and Krishna. And spurti or sporan, sakshad-darshan. So these are exemplars, these are signposts, these are beacon posts. This is the destiny, this is the goal, this is the paramgati, prema pamartha mahan. So we have to go there. So, wow, where are they and where am I? It's like, wow, long way to go. Keep chanting. And Srila Prabhupada, so many devotees came to Prabhupada and they said, oh, Prabhupada, I have this problem, I have that problem, this problem, that problem. Prabhupada very patiently and compassionately and lovingly is listening. So what should I do, Prabhupada? I think the best thing to do is chant Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Japa Karo. Because only Krishna can solve our dilemma. Only Krishna can bring us to Krishna. Nothing and no one can bring us to Krishna but Krishna. So Krishna says, this is my name, take it. Serve it. Share it. Worship it. Love it. And then if you do that sufficiently, then you say, oh, you did that with my name? Now I will take you to my kingdom. So that's why he extends himself. Here I am in the name. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says in one book, our first introduction with Bhagavan Sri Krishna is through Naam, through his holy name. So Bharat Muni Vishnu says, it's forbidden from the point of view of normal dharma in that attraction between a married person and an extra lover. The desires are hidden from others. It's hard for the lovers to meet. That attraction related to love is the most excellent. Any other form of gopi and or any form of love with Krishna is inferior to this love of the gopis and this Shringar Rati Parakiya Bhav. We have a little bit of time, Radha Sudhani. So that was text 20 of Ujjal Nilamani.